This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah al-Alim al-Khabir, al-Mutqin al-Nizam al-Alam bila mu'in wa nasir, fasubhanallah alladhi hikmatuhu balighatun wa ilmuhu ghazir, wa ni'amuhu wasilatun ila kulli saghirin wa kabir. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤديه إليك ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون وعن حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه قال ولقد أتى علي زمان وما أبالي أيكم بايعته لئن كان مسلما ليردنه علي دينه ولئن كان نصرانيا أو يهوديا ليردنه علي ساعيه أما اليوم فلا أبايع منكم إلا فلانا وفلانا أو كما قال Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, mothers and sisters, Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu, the devout companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what greater accolade can there be for this individual other than the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him his confidant? You say, that's my bosom buddy. We confide in each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu his confidant. Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu says, وَلَقَدْ أَتَى عَلَيَّ زَمَانٌ Reminiscing the glory days. There was a period in my life I could transact with any person without doing any checks or balances in advance. If a person came before me and an opportunity presented, we would strike the deal. La in kana musliman la yaruddanna alayya dinuhu. If he was a believer, his faith would not allow him to default. His iman would govern, regulate, and keep him online, that he would not go off the track or he would not deviate off the line in any way. His iman was adequate. وَلَا إِن كَانَ نَصْرَانِيًّا أَوْ يَهُودِيًّا And if he was a person of another faith, then the Muslim governor, the ruler of the time, would expose such an individual. So the society would not accommodate such people who would default, who would be dishonest, who would betray. So I could transact with any person. وَأَمَّا الْيَوْمَ فَلَا أُبَايِعْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا فُلَانًا وَفُلَانًا But now with the passage of time, I'm very, very selective with whom I transact. This one, that one, and a handful of people. And then the hadith goes on to say, He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, time will move on, and honesty, loyalty, integrity will become such a rare commodity, hatta yuqal anna fi bani fulan rajulan amina, that people will travel the length and breadth, come to a country, to a community, and say, I've come to meet this man in your town. I believe you people have an honest man in this town. Is it possible to meet him? I'm paraphrasing the hadith, but if you can understand the siyaq and the sabak, you will appreciate. Hatta yuqal. It would be something spoken about. people will rave about. Yeah. You, if you're going to Johannesburg, you're going to South Africa, you must go Crosby. There's an honest man there. There's a man who speaks the truth. حَتَّى يُقَالْ أَنَّ فِي بَنِي فُلَانَ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا. That honesty and integrity will become such a rare commodity that those who possess it, it will stand out as a salient feature, as a supernatural quality. Sadly, tragically, unfortunately, we are in that time. We are in that time and era where honesty is out. Speaking of lies is so repugnant to Allah, is so deplorable to Allah, is so disliked to Allah, that when Allah speaks about its prohibition in the Quran, Allah couples its prohibition with idolatry, which is the greatest of crimes. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجَسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجَسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Abstain from idolatry and abstain from speaking a lie. Scholars of tafsir tell us that the merit of an injunction or the repugnance of a prohibition can be deducted and deduced in the context of which it appears. So when Allah speaks about kindness to parents, Allah couples it with monotheism. Obey Allah, be kind to your parent. We're talking of the most important things. When Allah is talking of evil, wicked, nasty things, stay away from idol worship. Yeah, and stay away from lies as well. The verse I recited is the verse of the third juz, Surah Ali Imran. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارِ. Amongst the people of the book, the followers of Musa and Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, there are those from amongst them that if you were to give them a treasure, a large treasure, a handsome treasure, يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكِ, they are honest, they are loyal, they will give you back every cent and every dime. Brother, you left behind so much money, they are in absolute honesty. He might not share the same faith with you, but the Quran lauds his honesty. And I'll give you some amazing deductions that the scholars of tafsir have made here. So there are some people from the people of the book, be it the followers of Isa and Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, that even if you were to give them a treasure, qintar, yu'addihi ilayk, they will hand it over to you. They're very honest, amanat. The old people used to say, we gave our word, we gave our speech. Those were the glory old days, right? When you gave your word, that was your life. What does Allah say in the Quran? Once you give your word, then often you will be tempted with something much more lucrative. You know, you're looking to buy a car, you don't find. Then when you buy, oh, why you didn't tell me, man? I got 3 cars sitting here, man. The guy's hopping around doing samosa runs to settle down, doesn't find. Oh, man, my knees. Oh, what you telling me?
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ.
Because one nation now is more advanced, more skilled, they have more to offer. So now you start moving in your tracks, now you start rethinking. You know what, I told you, but I didn't confirm it. I said, I'll speak to my wife. I'll get back to you. إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Surely Allah tests the confidence of your honesty by presenting you with scenarios that are more lucrative after you've signed the document. You've given your word, you've signed the contract. Then what's, if there is an honor to the word, then where does a believer stand? إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَيُبَيِّنَنَّ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then there's one further one. Allah goes on. I just have a thought now in my mind about it. Some people make a pledge and then they default. But at the time that they made the pledge, they had the thought that they would honor it.
And then you have another category, and this has become common as well, is that at the time of the pledge, they intend into default. So their motives are malicious from inception. The only reason they pledge and vow and swear an oath is to convince you. And the only aim they do that is, that's why they swear an oath. I know of a person who told me, the man took me to the Kaaba. He said, we signed the documents at the precincts of the Kaaba. We make Allah our witness. He said his trouser wasn't above his ankle, was below his knee. That was his description. You know, in a reflection of piety in his apparent, attire. So in the next verse, in the 14 Juz, and you can see in Ma'riful Quran and in Jalalain, is a person who swears an oath, and at the time of the oath, he knows he's going to default. He's only taking the oath to convince the other party. Regarding such a person, Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا وَتَذُوقُ السُّوءَ بِمَا صَدَدْتُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ. If you do that, there's fear your foot will slip off the path of Islam and you'll die without iman. Go in Ma'riful Quran and go read it yourself. Read the English so you can get a verbatim explanation of what I'm telling you. Your foot will slip off. That's the fear. أن تزل قدم بعد ثبوت وتذوق السوء بما صددتم. And then you will have to contend with the consequences of becoming a blockage for other people because you are giving a wrong image to Islam. My brother, you stand in your capacity as a believer and you reflect your deen wherever you are. You cannot separate the two. You cannot separate, you cannot camouflage. You are a believer and we need to stand tall with those values that Allah has given us. So some people are those that if you give them a treasure, they will return it to you. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِن تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. And yet there are other people that if you were to entrust him with one dinar, he will not pay it back to you unless you stand by his head demanding your due. Listen, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. Then probably after fighting and, you know, insisting and persisting, then you might get your money. And by the way, from this, the scholars make an amazing deduction that the creditor has the right to stand at the side of the debtor and demand. Because Allah says, إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. So the ayah releases a subtle hint to the correct nature. If the creditor rocks up by your house, he rings your bell and he comes to your office and you say, you're hounding me. It's within his right to hound you. It's within his right to hound you. Of course, if you were given a time period and you have not defaulted on the time period, you know the hadith, and my mind is just running in so many different directions. The famous hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had performed the Salatul Janaza, and then he came out, and with him was Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu. And then a Bedouin came, and he said, oh Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had invited some people to Islam, and I gave them some money, and I told them after Islam, prosperity will come your way. And then they've been gripped by adversity. فَأَخْشَىٰ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ طَمَعًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ طَمَعًا. I'm afraid they might leave Islam more passionately than they entered in Islam. So if you have any money, please give it to me. I want to rescue their emotions. They're very volatile at the moment. They're new Muslims and Allah has tested them and tried them and they're going through a lot of challenges. And we're living in crisis, my brother. I can tell you, and I don't want to digress, I myself, personally, I'm dealing with cases on local shores of youth who are not intellectual apostates, who are openly verbalizing kufr. I mean, the house of Allah phoned this gentleman because someone asked me to speak to him. I said, Assalamu alaikum. He said, hello, I used to be a Muslim for 30 years, no longer. So I don't know what you want to tell me, because since I left Islam, I don't see anything missing in my life. I don't see any vacuum in my life. May Allah guide us. We are living in very, very scary times. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked around and he said, Ali, do you have any money? He said, no, I don't. Zayd ibn Su'na, who was the Jewish rabbi, he was present. And he came to actually examine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's conduct. He said, I had studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I was convinced he was the Prophet, but I just needed clarity on two things. يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلَهُ وَلَا تَزِيدُ شِدَّةُ الْجَهْلِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا. That his forbearance surpasses his anger. And the more you provoke him, the more calm he becomes. The more you incite him, the more relaxed he is. The more you provoke him, the more methodical he is. The more you push him, the more calm he becomes. So Zayd ibn Su'ana said, I can give you money with X amount of time and I'll pay you, pay me back on this day. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the money, he gave it to this A'rabi, and he said, distribute it amongst this community, whoever you're speaking about, and be fair to them. The time had lapsed, there were barely 2 days left, And for the period of grace that was given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by Zayd ibn Su'ana for the payment of the debt, there were 2 days left, and he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he came and he grabbed on the blessed garment of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, the children of Abdul Muttalib, ma uriftum illa mutla. Ma uriftum illa mutla. You people are known for procrastination. That's in your bloodstream. You only delay in pain. And he said, I deliberately provoked because I was examining the conduct of Nabi alayhi salam. And when I looked at Umar, وَعَيْنَاهُ تَدُورَانِ كَالْفَلَكِ الْمُسْتَدِيرِ And Sayyidina Umar's eyeballs were turning in all directions. And he said, يَا عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ أَتَقُولُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا أَسْمَى O enemy of Allah, are you literally blurting what I'm hearing? Like, are you real? You know what you're talking. And my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I can cry. He said, Umar, ana wa huwa kunna ahwaj ila ghayri hadha. Umar, neither he needed that, nor I needed this. You know what you should have done, Umar? We talk of conflict resolution. Conflict resolution. Today it's all theories. It's words. It's exchange of money. It's a science, but it's not executed. Right, so you go to the clinic, you go to the therapist, it's a beautiful setting, psychologically, it plays on your mind, the ambience is relaxed, it relaxes you in the theme, you know what, the whole atmosphere. So I asked a good friend of mine, he's got a gas station, I said, you know what, in a foreign country, I said, try and do away with the music. He said, no, Sheikh, you understand, they say when you come to a gas station, it's a grudge buy. You're not willfully buying. You're reluctantly coming. Oh, there my gas is gone again. So you need to lull this potential prospective buyer into a very serene ambience that coming in this gas station with aggression, he leaves with a smile. That's the thinking behind it. You know what, O Umar? You should have told me that I must be more prompt in the payments that I owe people. وَأَن تَأْمُرَهُ بِحُسْنِ الطَّلَبِ And Umar, you should have told him, the next time you demand your due, be more gentle. Now take him, Umar, give him what I owe him, and give him extra because unduly you were harsh to him. Yeah, that was the business dealings of Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما You see, when Allah speaks about the fraudster, the one who cheats, then what does Allah say? ويل للمطففين سورتان في القرآن بدأت بالويل إحداهما في أموال الناس والثاني في أعراض الناس. Two chapters in the Quran commence with wail. Wail can either mean a pit in hell or it can mean destruction. The first one sounds a warning for people who usurp the wealth of people. And the other one sounds a warning for those who attack the honor of people. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ. Allah says to the fraudsters, it looks like they forgot that they have an interview with me. They forgot. You know, often we go for these travels, programs. So generally, after the lecture tour, people take you for a little sightseeing, visit the places. This, you know, it's an attraction here, it's a landmark or whatever. Sometimes the touring precedes the tour. So you first, you get there and then they take you. The second day you forget, hey, I'm here on a lecture tour. You're at the beach, you're going here, you've seen this tower, you've seen this place here, and then, hey, you know what? There's a lineup of five lectures back to back. Allah says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Have they forgotten that they're going to be interviewed by me? And Allah says, the Quran is just beyond me. It never fails to amaze me. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe be to those that are fraudsters. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When they claim their measure, they take it in full. Now, the scholars of tafsir say, Allah has not made madhammat of the sifat of istifa. Allah has not condemned them for claiming their full due. Although in the context, outwardly, Allah is saying, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When they, hey, by, there's 1 gram short there. Yeah. Not like that. Give me a full kilo. So they very meticulous to take it in full, which is fine, which is great. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they have to give others, then they fall short. Then they fall short. You know, me, you owe me money, I won't let you sleep. But when you owe people money, no, don't destroy the friendship. Myself and your father go back many years. Well, we're going nowhere if you carry on like this. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالْغُلُولِ وَالدَّيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, you died in a way free from debts, free from cheating. You didn't cheat anyone. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ and pride, you go straight to Jannah. Allah protect us today, we die guilty of all three. We die guilty of all three. So Bilal radiallahu anhu takes him, and as they walk in, he tells Bilal radiallahu anhu, you know who I am. So if I paraphrase, tell Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, you know who I am. So if I paraphrase the sentiments of Umar, Umar radiallahu anhu is like, I don't want to know who you are. I'm paraphrasing it. Right? So he said, have you heard of Zayd ibn Su'na? He said, yeah, Al-Hibr, the erudite scholar. He said, yes. He said, that's me. What drove you to do that to my prophet? He said, I only deliberately did it so that I could have conviction that he is the prophet of Allah. I swear by Allah, I bring iman on Allah. وَأَنَّ شَطْرَ مَالِي صَدَقَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And half of all my assets in charity for the ummah. And then he passed away, مُقْبِلًا غَيْرَ مُدْبِرْ, advancing in the cause of Islam. So Allah says there are some people, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارِ, that if you give them a treasure, they will give it back to you. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارِ, and some of those, if you give 1 dinar, you won't get it back until you demand it. The scholars of tafsir raise a question here. If Allah is praising from the Ahle Kitab, those who accepted Islam, and then there's no apparent objection because Allah is praising a person who was a former non-Muslim and became a believer, and hence Allah is extolling his praises and lauding them because of their honesty. But the Quran does not make any categoric mention that the people of the book here are referenced to those who became believers. So there lies the possibility that the Quran is praising those from amongst them who are not Muslims. And this is mentioned in Bayanul Quran. And the explanation given is that honesty is such an amazing quality that the Quran praises it, whether it's found in the believers or in the disbelievers. Then they write further that for a quality to be mamduh is separate, and for it to be maqbool is separate. For it to be accepted in the court of Allah, iman is the prerequisite. But in this world, if you are an honest man, even if you're a non-Muslim, it is a quality worthy of praise. And on this second tafsir that Allah is praising the disbeliever who's honest, it also dispels the myth that Islam has any sense of ta'assub, or its prejudice, or its bias, or it has bigotry against opponents. Because Islam is honest and candid. If you're good, if you're a people from the book, or you're a believer, if you're honest, Islam praises you. We all speak about our mom Khadija radiallahu anha, and rightfully so. But I think we've done a great injustice because we have not reflected her whole life. We speak about her as the consort of Nabi alayhi salam, and rightfully so. The only woman from the consorts of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam who enjoys exclusive wedlock of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that also for the longest period. Wow. So all the other Azwaj Mutahharat, and we salute each one of them with absolute reverence, honor, respect, and dignity. No word of any language can describe or aptly convey the maqam and the status that Allah has conferred upon them, other than the Quran saying it, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. What an honor. And his spouses are their mothers. You talk of first lady, and after a little while, former first lady. Khadija radiallahu anha, her whole interaction, and I consciously want to focus on this for the benefit of our sisters. So just a few days ago, I gave a talk to sisters in one place, and I said that I believe it's imperative in a world of information revolution, where many people are throwing out different things to each sector of society, to men, women, and children, it's imperative that each one of us understand that what Allah has mentioned for us and designed for us and the constitution of the Quran, that defines our honor and respect. If anybody wants to adjust or tweak or amend or alter that year, then that is something that's unacceptable. So each one of us within ourselves needs to know, my respect lies in what Allah has decreed and defined for me in Quran and Sunnah, right? But it's also important that we understand that sometimes we have imposed certain things on society through cultural transmission or through other intended values, which might not necessarily enjoy divine accreditation or authentication. I'll give you a story of a good brother in America that happened to be a very prominent individual, but I'll choose not to mention his name. And I was attending this conference, and I was also one of the speakers there. And this is something that always intrigues me and fascinates me, is in these conferences, they have a workshop, or they have a slot for reverts. And the reverts come forward, and each one of them narrates their tale. And whenever I listen to tales of revert, it's something that will just open my eyes up instantly. And I tell you why it intrigues me, and why I love listening to the tales of reverts. Because every revert tells you about one beauty of Islam which attracted him, which you and I overlook. Someone will tell you, oh, when I looked at how pure this religion were, and when they go to the washroom and the bathroom and how they maintain purity, I said, this is the faith. And someone would say, oh, but when I seen how simple their funerals were, I said, no, this is the faith. And someone said, but when I seen the emphasis they put on kindness to parents, I said, this is the faith. And when I seen that their faith was in harmony with Jesus and Moses and David and Solomon and Jacob and Isaac, peace be upon all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, then I realized this is the faith. So what happens is, it's our lost legacy, something we don't know, we don't realize, we overlook. But when you hear it from the tongue of a person who came in, suddenly you start valuing it, that you know what, this is what Allah has given us. So anyway, this person told me, well, he was saying it in his talk. He said that I had accepted Islam and I was many years as a Muslim, and one day I walked into the masjid and I had long hair. So one brother told me, hey, you know what? You cannot keep long hair. It's not correct. He said, from the day I became a Muslim, years had passed. That was the first day in my life I desired to leave Islam and run back to disbelief when I was rebuked and chastised because of my long hair. Anyway, I came out, and MashaAllah is doing great da'wah work. I went home, I had mixed emotions, and then I shaved my head. And years later, he said, I started studying the hadith, only to discover that the Prophet ﷺ used to have zulfa. And I said to myself, Allah, only you rescued me and kept me on the faith. Otherwise, that person's arrow was going to take me off deen. So my point is, we need to understand Allah has given us that which is adequate for our honor and respect. But we also need to move out those cultural impositions that we have put upon society or certain segments of society or gender of society through whatever reasons. There might be some good intentions, but if the Quran and Hadith is clear on this year, we cannot dilute what Allah has made lawful, nor can we make unlawful what Allah has made lawful. Khadija radiallahu anha was a businesswoman. We're not advocating compromise your morality and your values. Study her whole life. Let not have selective hearing. Khadija radiallahu anha was a successful entrepreneur. She was first married, Armila. She was a widow, right? She was married to Atiq bin A'idh. Thumma mata anha. Then he passed away. Then she got married to Abu Hala. Thumma mata anha. And you know how my heart cries, my brother? You know how my heart cries? You ask the average Muslim. No, you ask the one who is perceived to be advanced on Islamic knowledge. Oh, really? Khadija radiallahu anha was married before also. The scholars of hadith debate who is the greatest woman to put foot on earth. And one of the contenders in the greatest woman is Khadija. And you and I don't know the basics of the life of the greatest woman to come on earth. It's either Khadija radiallahu anha or Aisha radiallahu anha or Fatima radiallahu anha or Maryam radiallahu anha. The debate continues between the four different words. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Some say نساء العالمين of that zamana, all academic discussion. But what I'm saying, she is one of those. And to add salt to injury, we know the life of everyone else. One is you ignorant right across. You don't know anyone's life. But then you know the lives of not famous, infamous people. Then she got married to Abu Hala. ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَنْهَا. Then Abu Hala passed away. ذَاتُ شَرَفٍ وَمَالٍ. She was a woman of respect and wealth. تَسْتَأْجِرُ الرِّجَالَ بِمَالِهَا. She used to give money and her goods, and men used to go and trade for her, and then she used to pay. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَهَا. When she heard that there's a man by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's a prospective businessman, and she heard three things about him: sidqu hadithihi, izamu amanatihi, karamu akhlaqihi. Oh man, sidqu hadithihi, izamu amanatihi, karamu akhlaqihi. There's a gentleman here in Mecca by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sidqu hadithi. Apparently, he only speaks the truth. Izamu amanatihi. He is very honest in his trust. Karamu akhlaqihi. His character is outstanding. It's impeccable. Last week, I was flying back from Mombasa to Nairobi. Just look at this man. Wow, fate has it such. So we did some work in rural Kenya with the Alimdad team, and we inaugurated some villages and some boreholes, etc. Anyway, hopped into the plane. I took out my Bayanul Quran. It was a 45-minute flight, and I'm reading, and I'm making mutala of the ayah. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed your character is sublime. You are on a lofty station. The pilot announces on the PA system that we're just crossing over Kilimanjaro on your left, right? 19,000. Feet, the highest mountain in Africa, and people summit it. And everybody is now looking through the shutter to get a glimpse of the mountain. And I'm reading the verse here where Allah says, real loftiness is character. Real height is character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Now, look at what's written in Bayan al-Quran. Oh, man. I'm telling you, I read this. I said, no, this is just too much. The Mufassir writes, Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. By the mercy of Allah, you are not insane, O my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're not insane. That's nasty, that's preposterous, that's ludicrous, that's crazy, that's bizarre of them to accuse you and malign you with insanity. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةً أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةً. Tell them to stand 1, 2, 3 and put your thinking cap on and be honest and candid. What an audacity. How can you say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mad? And Allah didn't say, ma bi nabiyyikum min jinnah, ma bi sahibikum. Your companion, you lived with him, you stayed with him, you know him well. So Allah said, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. Through the mercy of Allah, you're not insane. And then Allah said, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, and you have the highest character. Right? So the Mufassir writes, كُلَّمَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَحْسَنَ خُلُقًا كَانَ أَبْعَدْ مِنَ الْجُنُونِ وَيُلْزَمُ مِنْهُ أَنَّ سُوءَ الْأَخْلَاقِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْجُنُونِ. Wow, wow. Oh, wow. Whew. My brother, this is like, you know, I was in a lounge. And next thing, yeah, at a business lounge flying. And the whole thing erupted. What happened? I said, no, he scored a goal. Oh, okay. I thought the plane crashed. No, he scored a goal. Okay, all right. Whew. I hope I can simplify it for you to appreciate what it is. So Allah says, you're not insane. And then Allah says, you have the highest character. So the correlation between the two implies that the higher your character, the further you from insanity. And the mafhum and mukhalif, the opposite meaning is, the more impaired your character is, the closer you are to naivety and foolishness. So if I lack character, regardless of the accolades to my name, may Allah bless my father, I've said this in so many of my talks. I've said this in so many, recently in reunion when I gave a talk to the ulama, I mentioned it. And Allah bless him for this kind of coaching. And if it isn't for teachers to guide us, we will have nothing in life. In my early years of teaching, and I've said this many times, for probably 15 years of my speaking career, he used to critique me. 15 years of my life, he critiqued me. And at times I used to wonder, will there be a day that my dad will be happy with me? Will there be a day that my dad will be happy with me? But he used to tell me, your body language is not right. Your demeanor is not correct. Your smile is not correct. This is not correct. Your choice of words is not correct. I used to come home, Allah is my witness, and cry. I say, Allah, the whole masjid thanks me, but my dad is rebuking me. Today I cry and thank him on every letter of discipline. He used to tell me, my son, you can sit on the mimbar and mesmerize an audience for 2 hours. But if you get off that mimbar and you don't greet with a smile, you've thrown water over your entire talk. You've thrown water over your entire talk. There's no value to it. There'll be 5% will be diehard fans of yours. They will sing your song and die your life. 95% will say, leave that man, he doesn't know how to greet. And I don't claim that I have it right. I ask Allah to guide me. I ask Allah to guide me. I keep on saying to myself and my contemporaries and juniors, you need someone to tell you in life. The Prophet of Allah got revelation till the day he passed away. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ was the last ayah. So revelation came to him till his last breath. So that means he needed to be informed. How can I reach a point where nobody tells me? My spouse can't tell me. My employees can't tell me. My partner can't tell me. My in-laws are not there. My parents are not there. So nobody tells me. That's the recipe for disaster. And when husband and wife get to a point where they don't talk to each other, it's even worse. Because before, even if you don't agree, but each one was been told a different view. So your sovereignty was being challenged. My wife is listening and she's here. And I say it to her, we like any couple will have your difference of opinion. But it's health. It might not be healthy for the moment. But the opposite view is healthy for your ego. It's healthy for your nerves because you've been challenged. Because your ego believes, I'm the ultimate. Imam Ghazali says, the human ego craves for fame more than wealth. Because fame can buy you more than what wealth can buy. لأن من ملك المال لا يملك الجاه بكل حال، ومن ملك الجاه يملك المال بكل حال. ها Imam Ghazali has written this year. Many times you go, they say, no, we close. I'll pay you double the price. You can pay triple also, my friend, we close. You come see you Monday morning. But you pitch up there as a celebrity. Ooh, they open, the whole complex opens up. Walk in. Why? Your fame can buy you more than money. So your ego hankers for that fame. You don't phone anyone. You don't compromise my name. That's why we say what? We are more worried about our reputation than our character. Our reputation is what people think we are. Our character is what we actually are. We're more worried about our reputation. Don't tarnish my reputation. So anyway, every time a person has akhlaq, kana abad min al-junoon. He is away from insanity. وَيُلْزَمُ مِنْهُ أَنَّ سُوءَ الْأَخْلَاقِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْجُنُونِ. An evil character is close to insanity. May Allah protect us. So Khadija radiallahu anha heard that the man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had three amazing qualities. عَرَضَتْ عَلَيْهِ لِيَتَّجِرَ فِي مَالِهَا وَتُعْطِيهِ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا تُعْطِي غَيْرَهُ مِنَ التُّجَّارِ. And she proposed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would you go on a business mission for me? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed. And she said, I will pay you a handsome amount. And he obliged. And she gave X amount of goods. And she said, I will send with you Maysara, my servant and helper. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted and acceded. And can you imagine this business mission, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam traveling as a businessman. My Muslim brother and sister, when you stand up and open your shop, understand you are resembling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Nabi of Allah comes to Sham, comes to Syria. Ba'a Muhammadun sil'atahu allati kharaja biha. Just to move forward and expedite, he sells the goods. He returns with money and he purchases items as well. He comes back, he gives it to Khadija radiallahu anha. He makes hisab of every cent. Khadija radiallahu anha then sells the goods that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bought as well. Tada'afa maluha. Tada'afa maluha. Her profits and her dividends multiply. Ra'at Khadijatu fi maliha min al-baraka ma lam tara qabla hadha. It's the first time in Khadija radiallahu anha's life she's seen barakah and blessings of this caliber. وَأُخْبِرَتْ بِشَمَائِلِهِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. And she'd been hearing great things about this amazing man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَتَحَدَّثَتْ بِمَا فِي نَفْسِهَا إِلَى صَدِيقَتِهَا نَفِيسَ بِنْتِ مُنَبِّهِ. So she confides in her soulmate and her friend and her companion, Nafisa bint Munabbih. For many of us, this is the first time we hear in this name. But this is where the greatest union was solemnized. My brother, if you're not a businessman or you're a businessman, I beg, beseech and implore you, go back today and read the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pick up a book on the life of Khadija radiallahu anha. Whichever sahabi I speak on, I harp on it. What else can we have to present to Allah other than have these people as our role models? نعم الصحابة من آووا ومن نصروا ونعم الصحابة من للبغي قد هجروا ونعم سيدهم من معشر نجب فيهم عن الظلم والإجحاف مزدجروا فأمرهم شورى بينهم إذا أتمروا سلمان فيهم كما المقداد أو عمر هذا بلال لغير العرب منتسب وذا صهيب لآل الروم مشتهر كلاهما سيد بالله معتصم بالدين مستمسك بالطهر مؤتزر وكلهم صار بالإسلام ذا جاه وشرف عنه كل الجاه ينحدر. These are our people, man. So Khadija radiallahu anha then proposes to Nabi alayhi salam. And then she gets married to our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Study the life of Nabi alayhi salam. At the tender age of 25, he weds a woman that is 15 years his senior. The reason why I'm driving this message, don't become a victim of external propaganda where you begin to entertain the word pedophile against my Nabi. If you have done that, Iman has departed from you in its totality. How dare You say my Nabi was the greatest. Yeah, but the nikah to Aisha radiallahu anha, I'm just wondering. I'm not too comfortable. Who needs you to be comfortable? If that's your view, then that's external influence which has obscured your lenses. Change your lenses, my brother. You're not talking of the 9-year-old today. Today is 19 years old and 29 years old. He's not as matured as my mother Aisha at the age of 9.
وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أوتوا ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم
and you will hear from those that were given the book before and the polytheists أذن كثيرا a lot of abuse a lot of they will blurt a lot of nonsense خطب المؤمنون بهذا ليوطنوا أنفسهم على احتمال ما سيلقون من الشدائد حتى إذا لقوها وهم مستعدون لا يرهقهم ما يرهق من تصيبه الشدة بغتة.
The believers were forewarned that things will come your way. Prepare yourself.
The nikah was solemnized. She was a businesswoman. She was a married woman. Let not your career, my sister, make you delay in marriage. Let it not be that the focus, Islam allows you the right to have your business and your role model is Khadija. And this is where the relation commenced between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadija through business. But don't delay in getting married, in settling, in having the focus of a priority married life because of business reasons. We can do that. That's the pride that Allah has given me. Don't feel inferior in that role in which you're doing. You are fulfilling a role. Who was it? Ibn al-Jawzi that said, women make up the society. They are half of us and they give birth to the other half of us. Wow. Women make up the society. They are half of us and they give birth to the other half of us. At the age of 40, she then gives birth. وَلَدَتْ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ غُلَامَيْن She gives birth. Can you imagine the fertility of the woman of that time? She was widowed twice. She now gets married at 40. And from 40 onwards, she lives for 25 years till the age of 65. And the Prophet ﷺ turns 50. And in that 25 years, she bears 6 children. Who were the 2 sons? Qasim. وَبِهِ كَانَ يُكْنَى Qasim, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's pet name was Abu al-Qasim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the other one was Abdullah. وَكَانَ يُلَقَّبْ بِالطَّاهِرِ وَالطَّيِّبِ And they were given the titles of Tahir and Tayyib. And then the 4 daughters respectively, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Fatima radiyallahu anhunna. And you know Khadija radiyallahu anha? Oh man, just to conclude the discussion on Khadija radiyallahu anha and move on. Generally a woman, when she's been through a tough life, with her partner, every woman hopes, wishes, and prays that the latter life or the last years will be life of ease, relax. We went through a tough time. You know, we had poverty. My mother-in-law used to stay with us. We had a lot of problems. Then I had my sister-in-law, Biji Hohu. So, you know, it was tough. It was the early days. My husband was the only man in the house. There were a lot of issues he had to see to and all that. You hope, you wish, you pray for ease towards the end. Right? Khadija radiallahu anha's last 3 years. Oh my Allah. She got married to my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the age of 40. It started on a business transaction. She was head over heels on his honesty, integrity, loyalty, fidelity. The marriage was solemnized. The union bore 6 children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried 5 of those children with his own hands. 2 sons, 3 daughters. And 1 son, Ibrahim, from Maria Qibtiya, he buried. He was only survived by Fatima radiallahu anha when he passed away. But the point I want to focus, the last 3 years in the life of Khadija, that's from 62 to 65. It's the last years of her life. She's been through a lot. She's given birth to so many children. She's buried so many children. She's seen so much. Where's the last 3 years of my mother's life? Was it now time to tour the world? Was it now time to go for a holiday? Was it now time to sit and relax? The last 3 years of my mother's life was in the valley of Abu Talib, in which there were economic sanctions imposed on Banu Hashim, where they couldn't eat a dime or a date or a sip of water. After 3 long, hard, harsh years, when she came out, she took her last breath. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ, when the captives of Badr were brought, my brother, Allah knows how my heart cries. The Ummah doesn't know the life of Muhammad ﷺ. I hope I can make you feel adequately guilty. Don't take me in a bad way, but it can stimulate action. That I go back tonight. Last year when I was in Hajj, I spoke about the seerah. I was with an American group. Sheikh, you're making me feel bad. I said, thank you. That's what I want. So that you take a book and you study. You read, you understand. When the captives of Badr came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لو كان مطعم ابن حديحي ثم كلمني في هؤلاء النتنا لأطلقتهم له. If Mut'im ibn Adi was alive today and he had to negotiate with me the release of these captives of Badr, I would have respected him. Why? اعترافٌ بالجميل وتعبيرٌ بالوفاء. Who was Mut'im ibn Adi? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out of Ta'if, it was Mut'im and his children that gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam amnesty. And they said that we've given amnesty to him, nobody can harass him. وكان من أشد القائمين على نقض الصحيفة يوم حصر المسلمون وبنو هاشم في شعب أبي طالب. And he was amongst those who played an active role in putting an end to the infamous siege that had called for the sanctions and the boycott against the Muslims. It was Mut'im ibn Adi that said, this is harsh, this is inhumane. How can you do this here? And by the time he created the campaign to put an end to it, the termites had eaten up the scroll. So he said, let's pull it down. But the termites had eaten it up. And after 3 long, harsh years, Khadija radiallahu anha came out. She went in at the age of 62. She came out at 65. And a week later, she passed away. Anyway, we move on. The focus is honesty, my brother. What does Allah say in the Quran? If you're honest in your dealings, you know what will happen? وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Wow. وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ, and measure in full, إِذَا كِلْتُمْ, when you weigh. But, look at the beauty of Islam. You can say, I gave you 1 kilo. I gave you 100 grams. But then Islam said, make sure your scale is working properly. Wow. Allahu Akbar. Who's going to give you the longest ayat in the Quran? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalim musamman faktubu. The mufassireen have deduced 20 juristic rulings from one verse. Oh, you who believe, when you enter into a contract with a deferred payment, then write it down. وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ, and let the scribe write it down with justice. وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَن يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ. Wow. And you, at that time, when the general Arab was unlettered and illiterate, that is why they were referred to as Ummiyin, because the bulk of them were unlettered. ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. So those that were literate were a handful. So Allah then said, if you can write, then use the talent that Allah has given you. Don't withhold it and say, no, I don't want to write. You must learn to write yourself. No, no. If Allah has given you a talent, my brother, the preservation of that talent is in making it available to the ummah. Me sitting here and talking, I'm doing nobody a favor but myself. You sitting and listening, you're doing nobody a favor but yourself. Those that have the economic muscle and they're supporting our organizations and our institutions, continue supporting. In that lies your safety. And in that does not lie the continuation or the growth or the life of that organization. مَنْ لَمْ يَرَ نَفْسَهُ إِلَىٰ ثَوَابِ الصَّدَقَةِ أَحْوَجْ مِنَ الْفَقِيرِ إِلَىٰ صَدَقَتِهِ فَقَدْ أَبْطَلَ صَدَقَتَهُ. Imam Sha'bi said, if you don't believe that you need the reward of your charity more than the recipient needs the money, you've destroyed your charity. وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَن يَكْتُبْ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ. And if you can write, then don't withhold, don't say. وَلْيُمْلِلِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ. When I read this and I study Quran, I can read kalima on every ayat and just jump with joy and say, Allah, how do I begin to thank you that you've introduced us to this pure deen? I don't know. I can read my kalima again and again and jump with joy and say, this is divine. You can't make this up. In any clause or constitution, there's always an oversight, there's a fall, there's a deficiency, there's a blemish, there's a mistake, there's an error. Look at the details in which it has been captured, right? وَلْيُمْلِلِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. So who will dictate to the scribe to write the agreement? The Quran says the debtor. You owe in the money, you write. You must dictate. يُمْلِل. Right? So يُمْلِل and يُمْلِي. لُغَتَان. There's two lugats. Different tribe. أَمْلَى يُمْلِي إِمْلَى أَمْلَى لَا يُمْلِلُ إِمْلَال. وَلْيُمْلِلِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ. Oh. When you sign in the transaction, you write in the deal, let it be governed by the fear of Allah. See, in Surah Talaq, 4 pages. The chapter on Talaq is 4 pages. But in that 4 pages, there's mention in the Tafsir Uthmani, 5 times Allah told the men, fear me. The only way your marriage is going to work, if in every turn and twist you fear me. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Constantly interjecting, fear me, fear me, fear me. That's the only way. وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ. Fear Allah when you're writing. No, he's not looking. Yeah, right, right. He's not looking, you hooking. وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Now, you think, okay, it's over. فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ سَفِيهًا أَوْ ضَعِيفًا أَوْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يُمِلَّ هُوَ فَلْيُمْلِلْ وَلِيُّهُ بِالْعَدْلِ. How is it that our hearts don't get attracted to study Quran? Ya Allah, what has happened to us, Allah? Ya Allah, Allah, forgive that sin of us. Nuzi'at minhu. The barakat of wahi has been taken away. So for example, the person on whom the debt is, فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ سَفِيهًا. He's fickle-minded. سَفِيهًا أَوْ ضَعِيفًا. Or he's feeble. أَوْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَيْ يُمِلْ. Or he doesn't have the ability to dictate. أَوْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَن يُمِلَّ هُوَ فَلْيُمْلِلْ وَلِيُّهُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Then his guardian must come forward and say, I am in charge of his transactions. Please record it here and I will dictate the details. And then they must have witnesses like this. And when you call to witness, don't shy away, because if you shy away from being a witness, then that will erode the entire society. وَلَا يَأْبَ الشُّهَدَاءُ إِذَا مَا دُعُوا. But then now it doesn't mean that if you're a witness, then you know what? Yeah, you must come. And you're a scribe, you must write. Of course I must write. But there's my rights also. وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَيِّدٌ. Oh my Allah. وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَيِّدٌ. Don't impose or harm them. You need their services, be sensitive to them. Now you take the ayat and say, وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَن يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ. But then read the verse, وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ. I'm saying this deen is complete. Anyway, I was reading the verse, he said, verse 35th verse of Surah Bani Israel. In that Allah says, when you measure, then give in full, but make sure your scale is working. I'm giving you a translation of the Quran. وَزِنُوا وَزَنَا يَزِنُوا زِنْ زِنَا زِنُوا وَيْ بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Your scale must be working properly. So it must be set on zero and the scale is working properly. Now if you'll be honest and you weigh properly, and wallah, those that are conscious, They phone you. They ask you. You know what? From factory, this is what we've discovered. How do we compensate? How do we atone? How do we contact our clientele? What's the way forward? What's going to happen? This is iman. This is taqwa. Nothing else but that consciousness of Allah. Allah says, if you're honest, two things will happen. Dhalika khair. Dhalika khair. That is good by itself. It's good by itself. To be honest is just good. It's just the right thing. That's the way it must be. Wa ahsanu ta'wila. And the outcome of that is awesome. Why? In this world, it will attract more clients. And in Akhirah, it will attract Jannah for you. Chapter close. Dunya mein i'tibar, Akhirat mein Jannat. Bayan al-Quran. So what will happen in this world, when you are honest, dhalika khair, fi nafsihi, it's a good thing, it's a right thing. You don't have any guilt, you don't have any, you know what, restless nights. You didn't eat anyone's share. Wa ahsanu ta'wila, and the outcome of that is wholesome. We move on, there's a young boy. كَانَ غُلَامًا يَافِعًا لَمْ يُجَاوِزْ الْحُلْمَةِ. He has not even reached the age of puberty. كَانَ يَسْرَحْ فِي شِعَابِ مَكَّةِ. He takes his flock and he is grazing on the outskirts of Mecca. وَمَعَهُ غَنَمْ لِسَيِّدٍ مِّن سَادَاتِ قُرَيْشِ. He has a flock of sheep for one of the leaders of the Quraysh, عُقْبَى ابْنِ أَبِي مُعِيدٍ. وَذَاتَ يَوْمٍ, one day, رَأَى الْغُلَامِ, this young boy sees, كَهْلَيْن, two elderly people. يَتَّجِهَانِ نَحْوَهُ مِن بَعِيدٍ. So he takes his flock, he's on the outskirts grazing. It's a young boy, doesn't know much, doing his thing, working for his master, عُقْبَى ابْنِ أَبِي مُعِيدٍ. And these two elderly people are coming. وَقَدْ أَخَذَ الْجُهْدُ مِنْهُمَا كُلَّ مَأْخَذٍ. And they're exhausted. And they're tired. وَجَفَّتْ مِنْهُمَا الشِّفَاهُ وَالْحَلُوقُ. Their lips are parched. Their throat is dry. They're extremely drenched in their perspiration. So they come up close to him. And they say, يَا غُلَامُ, oh young boy, you have all these goats here. إِحْلِبْ لَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّاتِ مَا نُطْفِئُ بِهِ ظَمْأَنَا وَنَبُلُّ عُرُوقَنَا. Give us one goat here, milk it. And give us some milk. We want to quench our thirst and drench our body. So the young boy says, uncle, you know what? My apologies. I can see you are quite tired and exhausted. I wish I could have done that for you. But the truth be told, this flock and this goat does not belong to me. أنا غلام وعليها مؤتمن. I've been entrusted. This belongs to someone else. So I wish I could help you. I can see your crisis. You're extremely thirsty, but sorry. So one of the gentlemen say to him, okay, that's fine, we respect your honesty. How many people today, I know, if only a social call, I say, new phone number, no, Lani's cell. Oh, okay. So, yeah, no, it's quiet now, we're not busy. So no, I can discuss my marital problems. So he's calling in his employment hours from the office phone without the consent. There isn't a half a opinion on the permissibility of this year. This is openly abuse of trust. It is impermissible, unlawful, haram, and totally forbidden. May Allah protect us. Like Mufti Saab alluded, the perception that interest is only forbidden. For many people, no, it's haram. No pork alcohol, yeah. That is one explanation or one aspect of haram. But was it slaughtered Islamically? Did it go through the correct process? Was everything in order? So it's not only that. This young boy said, أنا عليها مؤتمن. I am entrusted. I am entrusted. This is not mine. So one of them said, دلني على شات لم ينزو عليها فحل. Can you perhaps show me a goat with which a female did not mate? A virgin goat with which a male did not mate. Can you show me a virgin goat with which a male did not mate? So obviously, it won't have milk. It's like, you know what, okay, I can't borrow your car. Can you borrow me a car without petrol? Yeah, no problem. Yeah, by all means, I mean, take it. I don't know what you can do with it. I'm just contextualizing it. Can you show me a virgin goat with which a male لم تنزو عليها فحلٌ. فأشار الغلام إلى شاة صغيرة قريبة. He said, yeah, there's a goat there. I mean, by all means, go for it. فتقدم الرجل. The person went forward. وجعل يمسح ضرعها. And he started gently stroking the udder. وهو يذكر عليها. It is authentic narration. وهو يذكر عليها اسم الله تعالى. And he's reading and invoking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I'm like looking at myself like, واخاني متيرني موترنو. You know? Like, where is he going with this guy, you know? Like, where's this car going? You know, what's happening here? فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي. I said, what is this person trying to do? And he started gently stroking the udder. Right? And
طَفِقَ اللَّبَنُ يَنْبَثِقُ مِنْهُ ثَرًّا غَزِيرًا.
And the milk started gushing forth in volumes. وَأَخَذَ الرَّجُلُ الْآخَرَ حَجَرًا مُجَوَّفًا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And the other person took like a vessel, and then he put it there, and the container was full to the brim.
وَأَنَا لَا أَكَادُ أُصَدِّقُ مَا أَرَى.
And I'm still trying to ask myself, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? ثُمَّ شَرِبَ هُوَ وَصَاحِبُهُ. And they both drank, and they offered me, and I also didn't say no. I'm like, you know what? Because we're not taking from the master here. This goat never produces milk. It just cannot produce milk. So this is a miracle in the nature, in the happening. So if, yeah, let me have it. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِضَرْعِ الشَّاتِ إِنْقَبِضْ. Then this blessed man said to the udder, shrink. And it shrunk. عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ قُلْتُ لِلْرَجُلِ الْمُبَارَكِ عَلِّمْنِ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ الَّذِي قُلْتُ. I said to this man, brother, may Allah bless you. Teach me this dua of yours. Teach me this dua of yours. So he said to me, إِنَّكَ غُلَامٌ مُعَلَّمٌ. إِنَّكَ غُلَامٌ. You learn it. You know it. كَانَتْ. Now listen to the secret. كَانَتْ بِدَايَةُ قِصَّةِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودِ مَعَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Who was this boy? This was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. This was his first introduction to Islam. إِذْ لَمْ يَكُنِ الرَّجُلَانِ. And the two gentlemen were none other than Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhuma. And the relation commenced from honesty, loyalty, integrity. That keep what is a trust and keep it to that. وَكَمَا أَحَبَّ الرَّسُولُ الْغُلَامَ. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr loved this boy. وَتَوَسَّمَ فِيهِ الْخَيْرِ. And they seen great vision in him. فَقَدْ أَحَبَّ الْغُلَامُ الرَّسُولَ وَصَاحِبَ. The young boy was head over heels over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't long when he came and he accepted Islam. And then he became one of the greatest luminaries of Islam. What they say, الفقه زرعه عبد الله بن مسعود وسقاه علقمة وحصده إبراهيم النخعي وداسه حماد وطحنه أبو حنيفة وعجنه محمد وعجنه أبو يوسف وخبزه محمد فسائر الناس يأكلون من خبزه. Oh man. Do I translate this, Mufti Sahib, or we? No. Huh? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Whatever. So it's like a milling process. You know? Bread. Oh, I have a flash now. So we were in Rayhanli on the borders of Turkey and Syria. I just have a thought on something. We're talking about zakat. You know, there's a Muslim brother, family business, who consulted with me and I gave them some advice on zakat. Until today, they thank me and they say they're indebted to me and nothing of mine. We just conveyed the teachings of Allah and His Nabi. So they had this process that they used to give zakat over the whole year. So when zakat becomes wajib, they used to pay it, but not immediately. So on the day of Hawlani Hawl, which is wujub of the day of Ada, the day to discharge it, but we'll pay so much this year. So I said, no. You should be giving it ideally on that day or before. وَلَوْ عَجَّلَ ذُو نِسَابٍ لِسِنِينَ صَحَّ. If you give it in advance, it's fine. Of course, you need to balance out the details. But you don't delay in giving. Where the time has kicked in, the year has turned, and it takes the entire year for you to pay and discharge your zakah. By the time you pay your last amount of this year, the next year has come in. And I told them, and I sat with the family, and I addressed them, and I said, see, get your zakat in order, work it out. Whatever your zakat amount is, you're doing it on the first of Ramadan, do your calculation, come first of Ramadan. Whatever your amount is, make sure you're ready to dispense. Yes, then you can commit to the organizations, here's the checks, here's the money, so that it can carry them. But you've given it out immediately. He said, Wallah, since we introduced that in our business, nothing has given us such an injection and a boost to our business other than giving our zakat diligently. So I was telling you this year about this whole story about this Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, right? It's an analogy of bread. Like he planted fiqh and then Alqama watered it, and Ibrahim Nakhai harvested it, and Hamad, who was the teacher of Abu Hanifa, he kind of grinded it, and then Abu Yusuf made it into flour, and Muhammad rahimahullah made it into bread, and people are eating of the bread. So we were in Rehan Lee 2 days before Ramadan, and I went to visit a plant where people are making bread for and distributing for Syrian refugees, right? But sadly, we couldn't see the plant in process. So when we got there, we seen the structure, we seen the machinery, but we couldn't see it in process. So I asked the brother, what's it? He said, unfortunately, in Shaban, it is the most challenging part for us, because Muslims stop their donation and hold it till Ramadan, the consequences of which is we don't have funds coming through. Many a time Shaban, people don't get any bread. So when I seen this, I said, looking at this crisis, probably giving for the need at this time, Allah will give you the same reward of Ramadan. I seen this with my own eyes. I appreciate, respect, and salute the vision of multiplying your good in Ramadan. But here's a crisis, you waiting for the crescent to be sighted. This man doesn't have bread. With my own eye, I witnessed it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's journey started from where, my brother? Honesty. And what did Imam Nawawi say? Intaha ilmu sahaba ila sitta. You can narrow down the knowledge of sahaba to six people. Ali, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and Abu Darda. Thumma ilmu sitta ila Ali wa Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then you can narrow down the knowledge of 124,000 to six sahaba. These six sahaba had it all. And the knowledge of all those six, two sahaba had it. And one was Ali and one was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And where did the journey of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud start? From honesty while he was employed by his master. Thalika khair. Thalika khair. Thalika khair. That is good for you. And the outcome of this, this is where it will take you. The hadith of Bukhari. How are we with time? Are we moving? May Allah bless you. Inshallah, we'll commence our descent. The hadith of Bukhari, Bad'ul Wahi. So there's Bad'ul Wahi, there's Kitabul Iman, there's Kitabul Ilm. In Bad'ul Wahi, the last hadith in Bad'ul Wahi, is a famous hadith, very famous hadith. What's the famous hadith? About when Abu Sufyan went to Sham. Abu Sufyan went to Sham. And how he went to Sham? وَكَانُوا تُجَّارًا بِالشَّامِ وَكَانُوا تُجَّارًا. They were tradesmen. He wasn't a Muslim. Abu Sufyan wasn't a Muslim. He went on a business mission. They were there for a trade reason. And at that time, Nabi alayhi salam had written a letter to Hiraqal. So Hiraqal said, oh, ask them, is there anybody who knows this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Abu Sufyan said, yes, I know him. He said, okay, bring him forward. He set him down. And then he told the translator, tell them to sit around him. I'm going to ask this man few questions. If he speaks the truth, then you must affirm it by nodding your head. And if he speaks a lie, then you must belie him. Oh Allah, what did Abu Sufyan say? He wasn't a Muslim. He was a foe to Islam. He was hostile to Islam. He's been interviewed by mass media of the time, which has the capacity to sensationalize it, right? Because that's exactly what media does. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When the people of Mecca were asked, what did Allah reveal? No, it's just ancient tales, man. Just ancient tales. Nothing to worry about. That's all they talk about. ليحملوا أوزارهم كاملة يوم القيامة ومن أوزار الذين يضلونهم بغير علم ألا ساء ما يزرون. Abu Sufyan says, listen to this, my brother and my sister. He's not a Muslim. I'm summoned. He's on a business mission. The words of Bukhari, Bad'ul Wahi, وَكَانُوا تُجَّارًا بِالشَّامِ. They were a trade mission, a trade caravan.
He said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا الْحَيَا مِنْ أَنْ يَأْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ كِذْبًا لَكَذِبْتُ عَنْهُ. If it was not for the fact that I would be stigmatized, I would be tarnished, I would be blemished as a liar, that was the most I was tempted in my life to lie. But I said, either I lie and then they call me a liar, or I speak the truth and then they love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, I don't love him, but I'm not going to speak a lie because I can't live with the stigma of a liar. A non-Muslim in an interview against his enemy says, I could never speak a lie. Today's man going for Hajj and Umrah on the journey of Hajj is lying. On the journey of Hajj at the Kaaba, the agent, the traveler, the buyer, the consumer, the whatever you want to say, all in it. La ilaha illallah. You might find this to be hilarious, but it's a true story. I was kind of involved in it. Okay. So, this individual had an affair, unfortunately. May Allah guide and protect one and all. Again, it ties up with honesty, loyalty, integrity. So his wife is sitting, we sit in. Brother, did you have an affair? Wallahi, I didn't have an affair. Wallahi, I did not have an affair. Brother, have you been cheating? Wallahi, I didn't cheat. Okay, no, but I know he did it, Ma. But I swear on Allah's name, I didn't. Okay. Sister, he takes an oath. Okay, we leave it to that. He takes an oath. Allah knows best. She goes out. Molna, I did. I did. I said, how could you do this? He said, no, I know Allah will forgive me for my affair also and for my lies also. My wife might not forgive me for anything. I said, that's not the way of doing it, my brother. That's not the way of doing it. So I know it's wrong, but I have hope Allah will forgive me for my affair and my lies. I said, but you cannot do that. I mean, you know what? You could argue it in a different way or whatever, or confess and apologize, but how can you do this? Anyway, can you imagine? He is not a believer. He's been interviewed about someone he despises and he says, no, I couldn't live with the stigma of a liar. That was a society, right? That was a society when that was the norm outside. I was saying to someone, I have this vivid memory when I was a kid, probably now I was 8 years old, but some of these things are just, you know what, indelible. We were playing as kids and somebody said, wife. Huh? I'm going to tell your mommy you said wife. Wallahi thumma wallah, I have this reflection. I'm going to tell your mommy you said wife. You must say auntie. There was a time, I don't know, I'm sure, man. I mean, I can see beards whiter, what, I don't know. I have this conscious reflection that society in its value system of respect was uncomfortable of the usage of the word wife by a junior. It was auntie. My mom always tells me that when she was expecting one of my siblings, so somebody in the family passed the remark that must make do I want a child. So I said, no, it doesn't happen later. You must go to the hospital. They'll give you a date. That's how you knew a child came. You didn't know anything else. Well, it was a taboo to use the word wife. The environment was just so respectful, so modest. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu wants to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I quote this with utmost respect to the presence of my sisters in the gathering, but we're living in a world of promiscuity that has plagued us, so we shouldn't shy away from the context of the hadith that is before us. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu wants to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the pre-discharge, pre-semen discharge, when a person is having close moments with his spouse before being intimate, when he's having close moments, the pre-semen discharge, does it necessitate ghusl or wudu? But then he tells himself, I cannot ask this ruling to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because as much as he is my Nabi, he's my father-in-law as well. So if I ask him, I'm obviously talking of the private moment with his daughter. So he calls Miqdad ibn Aswad radiyallahu anhu. He says, Miqdad, you go in your anonymous capacity and ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, sometimes a person tells you, I'll just share with a personal experience. I'll come back to this hadith. A person told me, he says, the husband and wife are having problems like this. And what advice should I give them? So I said that, no, you tell him he must do ABC. So he says, no, I finished doing it. So I said, okay, then say it's about you, my brother. Why are you saying husband and wife are having problems and all that, yeah? He said, no, there's one couple, they're fighting, you know, what advice should I give them? So I said, tell him to do this. He said, no, I finished, try that. So I said, the cat is out of the bag. Anyway, Miqdad, you go in your anonymous capacity and go and ask. And when the Prophet gives you the ruling, then you come back and tell it to me. Allahu Akbar. An Islamic ruling on an aspect of taharat, modesty, morality, haya. That is our salient. One of the great scholars said, two things are our salient features. Modesty and simplicity. We do everything, but we do it simple and modest. We get married also. We have functions also. We have ceremonies also. We have get-togethers also. We have graduations also. We have funerals also. We have ceremonies. But we do it simple and modest. Chapter close. You can have a graduation. You can have a marriage. It's just got to be simple. Anyway, let's move forward. So, Abu Sufyan says that the stigma of a liar I couldn't accept. So moving forward, he asked him a few questions. He said, كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ? Tell me about the lineage of this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبٍ? He's a man of great lineage. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abdul Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'ab bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fahr bin Malik bin Nadhar bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah bin Mudrika bin Ilyas bin Mudar bin Nazar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. That is the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till day it's established, without any doubt. هل كان من أبائه من ملك? Was there any king in his ancestry? No. هل كنتم تتهمونه بالكذب قبل أن يقول ما قال? Before he claimed prophethood, did he ever speak a lie? No. Okay, then he's a prophet. Then he's a prophet. Why? Because it doesn't make sense that he gives up speaking lies about people and then he invents a lie against Allah. If the man never spoke a lie against humans, then how would he ever speak a lie against Allah? هل يغدر? هل يغدر? Does he deceive? Now the answer was no. And this is typical manipulation of media, right? But they say it's strange that whatever happens in the world, it just fits exactly into the papers. Regardless of how much news happens, X amount of pages, every day the articles fit in perfectly well. And you get those people who are so gullible and vulnerable and susceptible that they believe it without a pinch of salt. You see the inconsistency, the contradiction, the brazen lies, and you still just buy it. I'm not saying refuting it in its totality, but like one person was reading the paper, so someone asked him, what are you doing? He said, main dekh raha hu ki is jhoot mein bhi kuch sach hai ya nahi. I'm just saying, is there any truth in these lies? He said, هل يغدر? Does he deceive? So Abu Sufyan said, he hasn't yet deceived. So we don't know what the future holds. But you're with the man for over 40 years and he haven't deceived you once. You can't say he hasn't yet deceived. If you met him today and said, well, he's been honest in my first meeting, but 40 years. And then he goes on to say, he's honest enough to admit, وَلَمْ تُمَكِّنِّي كَلِمَ غَيْرَ هَذَا. The opportunity didn't allow for me to infiltrate any manipulation more than this one word. And then after that, we were taken out because there were a lot of things that happened. And when I came out, I nudged my companion. I said, we're suppressing him in Makkah, but the emperors of Rome and Persia are trembling in their boots. Looks like this man's faith is going to prosper. لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَةً حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِي الْأَصْفَرِ. And from that day, I knew that Islam will prosper. Now, this is a humble thought that Allah has put in my mind, and I haven't come across documented correlation, but I don't think it goes against the teachings or the nusus. Hence, I share it with you in kana sawaban fa min Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sidq yahdi ila al-birr. Inna sidqa tamanina." He says, speak the truth, you'll be relaxed. When you speak the truth, your heart don't beat fast. You're stressed about the consequences because you did a wrong, but you're not panicky because you spoke the truth. And he said, lies creates restlessness, uneasiness. You're in anxious, anxiety, depressed. You toss in. If your phone doesn't have anything unsavory on it and you left it on by mistake in the shower, you don't have to dash out. Hello. I can just imagine some sisters nodding their heads there. Yeah. Good one, Maulana. Excellent. You know what? The other day I dealt with a case. So now you have your fingerprint. This guy phoned me. He said, I went to sleep, right? And I was tired, so I was knocked out. My wife took my phone, I'm dealing with it myself. Put the phone there, put my thumb, and I'm just sleeping away, opened up. Lo and behold. So even face recognition doesn't work, my brother, because it's your face, right? Lo and behold. So when you speak the truth, you relax. When you speak a lie, you're uneasy. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, the truth will take you to goodness. As-sidqu yahdi ila al-birr, to virtue. And virtue will take you to paradise. Abu Sufyan was the forerunner in all the campaigns against Islam. He spoke the truth about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Came the conquest of Mecca, al-hatta adkhala Allahu al-islam fi qalbi. The very Abu Sufyan became radiyallahu anhu. I'll leave you with the last reflection. My time has lapsed and I've surpassed and exceeded my time. We all heard about the tale of the people who were trapped in the cave. And they were in a crisis. And now no amount of money could buy you deliverance. And this is something we need to know. You know, whatever clout you have, whatever muscle you have, there's always moments in life where Allah Ta'ala incapacitates you and paralyzes you and reminds you and teaches you that He's sovereign and He's in absolute control. You have a pull. No, me, I'll phone. You know what? I can phone your boss now. Don't talk to me later. I'll phone your boss. Okay, yeah, you got authority. You can phone the supreme person, the authority, the hierarchy. You connected here. But you cross the border, you're a regular man. My brother, you're a number in the queue. You're a number in the queue. Or you hop the flight, you're a number in the queue. It's in certain places, maybe you have a little muscle, you can flex it here, but Allah shows you how often. Wait, I'll phone. You phone and he's not answering the phone. Or network problem. Allah shows you. That's why Allah repeatedly says in the Quran that nothing paralyzes Allah. And man is so weak that everything paralyzes us. I gave a talk the other day, I said there are two conditions, insomnia and constipation. It's one of the most difficult conditions a person can experience because it takes you to extreme frustration and there's nothing you can do about it. Person that cannot sleep, he's tossing, he's agitated, he's frustrated. He's recently a very, you know, professional individual phoned me and he said, I'm actually suicidal. So I said, why? He said, because of insomnia. So I said, but why didn't you try this medicine? He says, it's not working on me. So then anyway, we gave him dua, etc. We tried to comfort him and give him. So, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing can incapacitate Allah. Nothing can paralyze Allah. And anything and everything paralyzes us. We are so feeble. We are so weak. So weak. There's no limit to it. So anyway, these people were trapped in a cave. We know the hadith, and it is what we refer to as التوسل بالأعمال الصالحة. And there's no two opinions on the permissibility of التوسل بالأعمال الصالحة, interceding before Allah through the agency of noble deeds. So I always say, you must fill your reserves with good deeds. Do good deeds and fill your reserve. You don't know when crisis will hit the door. And when you'll find yourself in the deep ocean and the tides will be high and the waters will be stormy and the winds will be gusty
At that time, you know, nothing is going to work for you. Everything is going to fail you. Now you've got to tap into your reserves, provided you have something in your reserves. And can you imagine how rich were these three companions? They're just traveling. They don't know anything. And here now crap hits the fan and they're in a crisis. And each one talks his own thing. And the other one's, wow, this guy was amazing. I didn't even know the guy I'm traveling with, man. Here he's like, okay, now we're in a crisis. You make dua. Nobody, you make dua. Today, if I can remember what I must my fajr today, bhai. You know what I did this year. So in fact, when we're in a crisis, for any virtue to come to the fore is remote. All negative thoughts come to the fore. What the wrong we did, which haunts us, obscures us, blocks us. And amongst those three people was one person. Allahumma inni istajartu ujara. Allah, I had employed some people and they worked for me. Wa a'taytuhum ajrahum. And then I gave them their money. I gave them their money. غَيْرَ رَجُلٍ wahid. One person worked for me. I didn't give him his money. He didn't come back. Sometimes you have people in December, casual labor, they work one day. Next day the domestic doesn't come back. And you know exactly. When you come home, you know if there's a domestic or not. You don't have to ask. One brother in London is a good friend of mine. He said, I met my friend there at the grocery shop. So I asked him, you here? He said, yeah, my wife told me, on your way back. So I told him, you lucky, your wife said, on your way back. My wife phoned me and told me, make your way back. Your wife told you, on your way back, pick up this year. My wife phoned me and said, make your way back. So I said, okay, no worries. So a person worked for me and then he went away. He left his money. This is Islamic business. Our model is different. Years ago, I was in Perth, Australia. We were sitting on the table. And there was a revert there. And he asked me, why is interest haram? Give me a logical proof. So I said, see, I haven't read anything, but this is what Allah tells me in my Quran and in my teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the system of interest, the lifeline, the bloodline of that is to exploit, to make the poor poorer, the rich richer. And from an Islamic system, I'm taught and I'm advised that I need to up the other brother, and by giving him money, that brings barakah in my life, goodness in my life, prosperity in my life. So I'm taking no returns, I'm taking no benefits from him. Kullu qardin jarra naf'an fa huwa riba. Every debt or every loan that you give which attracts any benefit is a type of interest and usury. So the system of Islam is, not too long ago, BBC had an article on the economic side that the world's richest 1% has the same amount of wealth like the world's remaining 99%. Now, with this gross disparity and discrepancy, is it not going to create a host of social evils? How? كَيْلَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. So the wealth doesn't become an exclusive commodity of the elite amongst you. I always say, and I point the sword to myself, some of us have decided to live a life of luxury, the price of which is others are deprived of a life of necessity. I have decided to live a life of luxury, so my brother across the road doesn't have a life of necessity. So he said, Allah, there was a man who worked for me. He didn't take his due. I took his money and I said, let me invest it for him. Number one, in our situation, we will deny him. If come, you don't owe me money. You're lucky it's Friday. Yeah, that's the language we use. That's the language we use. That's the vulgar we use. The man came back. He's in a crisis. He needs money. He's owing his brother, 4 years ago, I worked for you. We won't give him his due. If we give him his due, how many of us will have the courage to invest his money for him? Number two. Number three, some of us might have the courage to invest it, but after we see the growth in it, hey, our intention will change immediately. Thus, I can keep for my grandchild, man. You know what? And I want to make him a hafiz, inshallah. So my intention is good. Yeah. My intention is Allah must make him a hafiz. I invested one day's salary of that man with the sincerity of his toiling and his labor.
coupled with the noble motive of the employer, it grew, it expanded, growth came. It turned into a valley of camels. It turned into a valley of cattle. It turned into a flock of sheep, the hadith of Bukhari. The man came back, he said, Ya Abdullah, O friend of Allah, you know I worked for you many years ago. He said, yes. He said, can you pay me? He said, Kullu ma tara min al-ibili wal-baqari wal-ghanami min ajrik. Have a look, all these camels here, all this cattle and all the sheep is yours. The man responded by saying, Ya Abdullah, la tastahzi'bi. O friend of Allah, don't mock me. I know Allah's given you so much. I don't own it. Don't tease me like this, yeah? You're showing me like your whole fleet, your whole showroom. I don't own this, yeah? He said, by Allah, I'm not mocking you. I invested what you had in money. I put it in and it became from cash into kind. And all this is yours. فَأَخَذَهُ فَاسْتَاقَهُ وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. This man also, mashallah, took everything and went. You know, I heard from one great scholar, Azadji Maulana Yusuf Rahimahullah, not directly, but from people who heard from him. He mentioned something very amazing. He said, if you look at this hadith, each three, you know, the one was kind to his mother and one was kind to his cousin because he had a crush and a fantasy and an infatuation over her. We know the hadith. But each one of them interceded before Allah through a noble action. But what's the common denominator? It was kindness to makhluq. None of them said, I fasted so long, I offered so much prayer. Each one of them reached out to Allah in a crisis. Allah forbid that someone in the family has got cancer. You know now your contacts, your business, your doctors, nothing is going to help you. You're at the rock bottom. You need to now tap into a reserve. You need to open up and present it to Allah. He presents the honesty in his business dealings. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? When he made his dua, the boulder moves. خَرَجُوا يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ. And they exit from their walking out of there with great strength and ease. And Allah grants them a new leaf to life. If you had not paid him the money, hypothetically, you devoured him. And I always say, you shortchange someone here, you go round the corner and it comes back to you in a different way. And it hits you double. So let the man leave happy. Pay people. Give them extra and you'll be a winner. Learn to pay people good salaries. مَا خَفَّفْتَ عَنْ خَادِمِكَ كَانَ لَكَ أَجْرًا فِي مِيزَانِكَ. You reduce the burden of your helper, your employee. This is a form of charity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us true businessmen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, التَّاجِرُ الصَّدُوقُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّقِينَ. The hadith is, although it's mursalan, Hasan Basri narrates it, that مَنْ جَاءَهُ الْمَوْتُ وَهُوَ يَطْلُبُ الْعِلْمُ لِيُحْيِي بِهِ الْإِسْلَامُ. The one who acquires the knowledge of deen, to establish and revive Islam. And he dies in this stage while acquiring the knowledge of deen. There's inqita in the chain. I want to be clear on the academic side of this year. In the chain of narrators, there is one narrator missing in there. Because it's Mursal and Hasan Basri is narrating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's inqita in the chain. But be it as it may, a person acquiring the knowledge of deen and he passes away in that stage, his stage will be one below the anbiya on the day of qiyamah. بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّبِيِّينَ دَرَجَةً. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the honest, true, faithful businessman who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dealings and who conducts his business with respect and dignity and honesty, he will be resurrected, not below the prophets, with the prophets. May Allah grant us all the understanding. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.